Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm Father Cedric Pazegna, a Catholic priest. I'm so glad that you invited me to come into your home. I want to share with you the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The true light that enlightens the world was coming into the world. He was in the world was made through him, yet the world knew him not. He came to his own home, and his own people received him not. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become the children of God. My series is called Through Him, With Him, and In Him. It's a series about Jesus living in us, developing a personal relationship with him. This time, in this episode, I want to proclaim to you that Jesus came to give us meaning and metamorphosis. He gave us power, as we heard in that reading from the Gospel of John, power to become the children of God, to any who accept him, to all who received him. It's so tragic and ironic. Jesus came to his own, yet his own didn't receive him. But to any, and that means you and me, to any who received him, he gave dunamis in the Greek, dynamite, power to become the children of God. So I want to talk about how through him, with him, and in him, he gives us meaning, and he also gives us purpose, and he gives us metamorphosis, power to change. Let me share this with you. I went to a Christmas Mass one time, and it was in Vina, California. In Vina, California, there is a group of religious monks. They're called Trappists. And the Trappist monks are, let's just say, very liturgical, very ritualistic, into incense, into bells and smells, if you will. And during the liturgy, let's just say it wasn't the most exciting liturgy. Now, it's a Christmas liturgy. A lot of people from the town was there. This is Vina, California, Northern California. And during the homily, the monk, let's just say, was not that exciting. He was hard to listen to. And although he spoke about Christmas, it really wasn't connecting with the people. I was sitting behind a mother and her daughter, and after the homily, I heard the daughter turn to the mother, and she said, "Mom, I didn't get anything out of that." And when I heard her say that, I was so, despondent. I felt so bad for this young girl. Here it was Christmas, and all these people were gathered. What an opportunity to proclaim the gospel. And here's this young girl, this teenager, who knows how often she was going to church, and she didn't get anything out of it. When people come to Mass on Christmas or Easter, they come in large numbers. It is a tremendous time to proclaim, a great opportunity to announce the truths of our faith. And number one, Jesus came to bring us eternal life. He came so that we could be born again. He came so that we could be filled with the Holy Spirit. He came to bring us transformation. And that's what people are longing for. That's what people need to hear, not a bunch of things that don't make any sense and don't relate to our life. We have to preach in a way that's relevant, in a way that relates to our life, in a way that proclaims the truth of the gospel. So I felt so bad for her. I realized that teenagers in particular are being tempted in many different ways, not just sexually, but being tempted by our culture to believe all kinds of false notions and non-truths. They're being bombarded by, and we are too, by things like Facebook and the internet and iPhones and distractions that are pulling them away from what their heart truly desires. Because what you find out when you invest yourself with all these different things, these idols in life and the distractions that we all have, we find out that, you know, it may entertain a little bit, but it doesn't fulfill. And that's what really our hearts desire. Our hearts are restless, St. Augustine said, until they rest in God. It was Billy Graham who said years ago that we have a cosmic loneliness. What that means is that deep within, nothing can fill it, not things, not people, not idols, not sin, not money. We're lonely inside. We're lonely for God. We have a God-shaped hole that only God can fill. And so I believe that many young people are searching and they're looking for something that will fill that hole because God put it in there. It's like a homing device so that we would search for God. And to hear that young girl say on Christmas Day that she didn't get anything out of it was very upsetting to me because I want young people especially to come to know Jesus, to come to eternal life. As I said, I was a youth minister and I have a heart for young people. And one of the reasons why I wanted to get on television, and now I have been for 14 years, I'm on the three major Christian networks along with a lot of other stations and radio, and I travel preaching missions and sometimes we have youth nights. I grew up Catholic and I had this as my foundation, but I had fallen away because I didn't know who God was. I didn't even know if there was a God. But if I had heard the truth proclaimed to me in a way that I could understand, that was relevant, in a way that made sense, articulated like I needed to hear, I believe I would have made a move toward God. But I never really heard that. Unfortunately, many of my experiences in the church were like this young girl. I would go to Mass hoping, but it just wasn't connecting. And so I'm praying that, especially if you're a young person watching this program will connect with you. Because Jesus came to give us meaning and purpose in a relationship, to give us a new quality of life, to help us to fulfill our potential, to realize our destiny. God has a plan full of hope, Jeremiah tells us, Jeremiah the prophet. So why did Jesus come? What was the Christmas message that needed to be proclaimed? The name Jesus means Savior. This series is called Through Him, With Him, and In Him. And the him that we're talking about is Jesus. See, it's through him that we're saved from our sins. And we all commit sin. We've all had addictions in some way, bad habits and brokenness. And he comes to pull us out of that into something different, to be a person of integrity and character. So I tell people all the time, you don't have to stay stuck. You can move. And then he came to save us. That means to rescue us, if you will, from death. Just had a friend of mine lose his wife just yesterday. And she just died suddenly. It was very tragic. He's very broken up about it, of course. And this is what Jesus came to save us from, that we won't die eternally. We're all going to die, but dying in Christ, through him and with him, is simply a transition to something more. Jesus is the only one who ever announced, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Whoever comes to me will never die. This is what Jesus offers us. Nobody in the history of humanity has ever offered this. This is unparalleled and it's absolutely, completely true. I have discovered in my own life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So on Christmas Day, we need to be talking about what the name Jesus means and why he came, and certainly he came to bring us eternal life. My ministry is devoted to touching lives and saving souls. As a Catholic priest, I realize that I can teach in many different areas, and they're all worthy, psychology and liturgy and many different other areas. But what needs to be taught primarily is what will happen to our soul, our entity, our being, our consciousness. And that's the most I can give you is assuring you in Christ of eternal life. And my heart's desire, and I try to bring my heart's desire as a Catholic priest, is to bring you this wonderful good news of salvation. Now, in these programs, I also talk about a personal relationship with God that's very extremely important. And the two are connected, eternal life and a personal relationship with God. But I also try to bring you through Live with Passion, your destiny. I try to help you to realize your potential and become all that you can be. God has a wonderful plan for all of us, and we want to walk in His will and become all that we can be. But most of all, I want you to know this wonderful quality of eternal life. So Fulton Sheen wrote a book years ago called The Life of Christ. Beautiful book to read, The Life of Christ. Fulton Sheen, the great Catholic bishop and preacher, used to be on television. And in the book, he said, Jesus was the only person ever born to die. We're all born to live, of course. But Jesus was born for a purpose, and His purpose was to die. That's kind of ironic. He came to rescue us, to deliver us, to save us from sin. And then he got very alliterative, and he talked about the cross, Bishop Sheen did in his book. And he said this, he said, the shadow of the cross fell upon the crib. The cross upon the crib, that's alliteration. And what he was saying was that even from his birth, he had a mission. And his mission was the cross. His whole life purpose was to bring eternal life. And that's the meaning of Jesus of Nazareth. And He brings such meaning to our life. So if you are a young person who is searching, I want to proclaim to you that this is for you. I remember when I was a young person and I had fallen away from the church and I really didn't know who Jesus was. I guess I thought religion was for everybody else, but not for me, because it didn't seem to work for me. But then, as I opened up my heart, and as I said in the reading from John, whoever accepted Him, He gave the power to become the children of God. I accepted Jesus Christ into my life. And I never knew that you could receive this power, this dynamite, this spirit from God that brings life and then brings transformation. And I want to get into that part about transformation here in a second. So why did Jesus come? To transform us. It was Saint Athanasius. He was a saint and a theologian, lived in the 300s way back when. He said that God became man so that man could become God. That's an interesting saying. What he was saying is that this is our life purpose, to be what's called divinized, to become divine. Another way to say it is to be born again, to have a rebirth. It's a whole new way to live. See, we're born into humanity, but God can breathe into us new life, divinized, becoming divine. Now, when I talk about being divinized and divine, don't think about the New Age movement. Don't think about secularism that says we can be our own gods and control our own destiny, or the New Age movement will go up to these mountains and pray with crystals and, you know, have light incense and think that, you know, I am God. That's a whole nother philosophy. I'm not talking about that. Rather, I'm talking about the Spirit of God coming into a person who has a rebirth because of their commitment to Jesus Christ. Totally different thing than what the New Age movement proclaims, what secularism proclaims. That the meaning of our life, really, and the purpose of our life is to be transformed and to change from what we were when we were born to what we can become. I call it becoming fully human. We're human when we're born, but to be fully human is to become all that we can be, to realize our destiny, and also to get in touch with our God side of ourselves, to be divinized. I'll explain it to you this way. I studied in Israel, and I went to a church up on Mount Tabor. Mount Tabor is this little mount that rises out of the plains of Galilee. I think it's about 1,500 feet high. And it's the traditional place where, if you remember the story of the Transfiguration, Jesus went up there with Peter, James, and John, and His face shone like the sun. He was transfigured right before them, metamorphosized. divinized, his divinity shone forth. And at the Mount of Transfiguration, about 100 years ago, at that site, they built a church over some archaeological remains of another church, and it's called the Church of the Transfiguration. So as you know, Jesus had two natures. He was human, he was divine. And they have two chapels there. They have a chapel dedicated to the humanity of Christ, as well as a chapel dedicated to the divinity of Christ. Well, once a year, on August 6th, that's the Feast of the Transfiguration in the Catholic Church, the sun shines in such a way that it comes right through that door, hits a mirror, and is reflected onto the golden mosaics. And the golden mosaics glitter with a light and dazzles, kind of like the Transfiguration. It's a very beautiful sight to see. So in a way, in picture form, that's kind of what God wants to do in our souls. He wants to shine his light, the true light that was coming into the world, John tells us. The true light that enlightens each of us. He came to bring power so that we could become like he was. I was given an article some time ago by one of the priests, the Catholic priest. His name is Father Ronald Rollhauser. Does a lot of writing for Catholic periodicals and newspapers. And he wrote an article called From Paranoia to Metanoia. And he described paranoia not as we think about it, fear of that everybody's talking about me, that kind of a thing. Paranoia had to do with the negative mind, the unforgiving mind, the mind of the flesh that is attracted to things like addictions. So it's that part of us that is fallen. That's the paranoia. And then he talked about metanoia. And of course, metanoia has to do with what Jesus preached. When Jesus used the word repent, that's the word in the English, he was saying metanoia, have a change, have another mind. Instead of being fearful and doubting and negative, Jesus was teaching you can be positive, you can know God in a personal way, you can be courageous, you can be an overcomer, you can realize your potential. And so when we talk about transformation, one of the first places that transformation occurs is in our mind. You have to understand that when Jesus breathes in us to bring us divinization and transformation, our mind changes. Suddenly, all things are possible to the one who believes. Suddenly, you become positive. And then, as I said, it is a process of growth. You are changed and transformed in your mind, and you literally become, as it says in 2 Corinthians, a new creation. We start off one way, and then by God's grace, and this is what it says in John chapter 1, Moses came to bring us the law, but Jesus came to bring us grace upon grace upon grace. And that's exactly what we need. We need that free gift of God, that wonderful working of God to bring about this transformation deep within us. So the first place that this happens is in our mind, the way we think, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Love what it says in 1 Corinthians 2. It says that we have the mind of Christ. Remember what this series is all about. Through him, with him, and in him. See, Christ lives in us. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And because Christ is in us, we now have the mind of Christ. We don't have to be anxious and worried and fearful and doubting all the time. We can have a new mind that can literally achieve great things, that can be very courageous, that can achieve the impossible that we thought at one time, that can break boundaries, affect people's lives, and transform the world. So transformation also happens not only in your mind, but in your relationship with God. When we talk about divinization, you have to understand that it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Again, this series is all about through him, with him, and in him. So our relationship with God happens on many levels, but especially when it comes to intimacy, to knowing God in the depths of our heart in a personal way. And so that's one thing I want to assure you about transformation, that you come to rely upon God instead of yourself. You come to believe and to trust in God rather than trusting in people. It says in one of the Psalms, put no trust in princes, trust rather in God. And so this whole process about divinization and metamorphosis occurs when we begin to develop our relationship with God. And so it's not just a glitter on some kind of a mosaic, it's the transformation of our heart, the transformation of our spirit toward God. Then really quickly, we've all heard that statement, to err is human and to forgive divine. We're talking about divinization here. To forgive is divine. We all have people that have hurt us. We all have people that have slandered us and spoken against us, who really don't like us for whatever reason, whether it be envy or jealousy or whatever it is, and it can be hard to forgive them. Well, I've discovered now that when it comes to me, I cannot forgive on my own. I've tried, and it oftentimes ends up with resentment. But through the power of God, through the grace of God, with God breathing on our life, there's a new ability to make the decision, no matter how you've been hurt, to forgive. This is one of the hallmarks that you know that you're being divinized, that you want to forgive and you are able to forgive through God's grace. So what I'm talking about when I talk about transformation, I've tried to make it very practical. I talk about our thought life. I talk about our relationship with God. I talk about your relationships with other people. And then what about your relationship with yourself? I used to think I knew myself. I really didn't know who I was. You develop a whole new identity in Christ. I say this all the time, and I put this on the cover of my book about the Holy Spirit. You cannot know who you are until you know whose you are. And that's transformation. You come to a new identity, a self-identity, and a realization about yourself that you are a child of the Most High, that you are going to live forever because of the Holy Spirit living within you. That's why through Him, with Him, and in Him means everything. That's why I was so disappointed when that young girl didn't get anything out of that homily, out of that message, because she and you and everybody that goes to church deserve so much more. You deserve to know the truth, that Jesus came to save us from eternal death, to save us for heaven, and to transform us, that now our life, day by day, can be radically different. We are new creations in Christ. Our mind, our relationship with God, our relationship with ourselves, so very important. Well, some time ago, I had to fill out my will, getting up there in age and have to do that. And so as a priest with a vow of poverty, it wasn't too hard. I basically said what we already know, and that's that anything that I have, I bequeath to the community, and I don't have a whole lot. I don't have any money, or I have very little in terms of possessions. But the other thing I had to do was fill out the power of attorney. And that has to do with, if I'm incapacitated, I had to make a decision about what I wanted done to me. And then the last thing I had to do was to pick out the songs and the readings for my funeral. Well, the verse, I don't know what you would pick for your verse, but I chose from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, where Jesus said, I command you this one command, that you love one another. And He stated it again, that you love one another. I pray that when people look at my life and television and writing and preaching, that they won't see that I was trying to have self-aggrandizement and trying to become famous or anything like that. That this is the way that I was loving. Arbitrarily, generously, reaching out to people everywhere, trying to love you through media, through writing, through preaching, through counseling, through hearing confessions. And then the song. I chose the music for my funeral. I do a lot of ministry in the New Orleans area. And of course, you remember Louis Armstrong composed that beautiful song, and it was called When the Saints Go Marching In. So what I've been talking about this whole episode, transformation, purification, sanctification. That's sainthood. You see, Jesus came to bring us a radical new life, to make us saints. That word means a holy one. And so at my funeral, as we're all going out, I want everybody clapping, and I want that song sung. When the saints go marching in, I want to be among that number when the saints go marching in, and what a glorious day that's going to be. So, Jesus came to bring us life, salvation from sin, radical transformation, to divinize us, to change us. And I pray that you will accept him as Lord of your life, realize that he lives within you, and because of that, you can be transformed. You are a new creation, and I pray that in Jesus' name, you will know transformation and become all that you can be. Don't just live, live with passion. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.